How are you?
Hey, all right. You never disappoint, I'll tell you that much.
Well, you know, I appreciate that, you know, and I definitely love the way that you always give me props for all the stuff I've been working hard to do, so thank you so much for
Absolutely.
That. Well, today is, of course, the Live with the Jazz Cat segment, and with me today I have another just stellar player in the business. You all know him visually as well as audibly. His name is Mr. Marvin Smitty Smith. Hey, Marvin.
Man, hanging out with the Jazz Cat. My boy, Leroy Downs, putting it down big time. What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Happy to have you with me today, man, as usual.
Hey, man. Look, hanging with the Jazz Cat, knowing where the music's at, brother.
Well, you know, we follow you, man. So we get a chance to see you on the air and, you know, hear you playing around town as well, man. You're always doing some great things.
Hey, bro. I'm just trying to keep it happening, man.
Hey, you know, you and Billy Higgins are the only drummers I know that have the patented smile of jazz. I mean, what is it that makes this music so good for you, man?
Man, well, you know, and this is the thing, because I, you know, Higgins was one of my heroes, as you well know,
right.
And I had known Higgins for years in my New York days. You know, I'm talking almost, man. It's almost 30 years ago when I first got to New York, but I used to see Hig play a lot in my New York days, and I, you know, he always possessed what I possessed, you know, because to me it's about, the music is joy, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a joyful expression, and every time I got on the bandstand, it was a joyful and joyous occasion because I got the opportunity to, you know, make music with cats.
Right.
And that was, you know, the music, I learned music, you know, like most of jazz musicians did, as most young guys, you know, we learn from the old cats.
Right.
You know, I was very young when I started, you know, I took formal training on drums when I was 3 years old, and I started playing professionally at 13. But during my years, like, you know, when I was like seven, my dad, who was a jazz music aficionado, and he played drums a little bit, you know, on the side. He would take me out to these jam sessions, you know, locally where I was from, in Waukegan, Illinois, just north of Chicago. And there were a couple of jam sessions happening at local bars, you know, that were, you know, out there at the time. So I was like 7 years old, and my dad would take me to these jam sessions. And, you know, they let me sit in, so I played my little swing beat, you know, and get my little bossa nova beat on, you know, play a little ballad with brushes, you know, and the cats were very encouraging.
Right.
You know, they say, all right, young blood, we see you, you know, man, you come on back, man, you know, hey, you off to a good start, man, you keep on practicing, you know, you're all right, man, come on, you know. So they were very encouraging. I mean, these were friends of my dad's, you know what I mean? So that's how I learned the music. But getting back to the initial point about the music, like I say, the music is a sacred, was always considered a sacred thing. And so it was always a joyful experience of camaraderie and you know, just a communal aspect, you know, with the cats on the bandstand. So, you know, that's what I always tried to carry, was the, you know, the joyful part of it, you know, and that joyful expression. So that's why I'm happy, man, because I'm getting to play music.
Well, you know, you are getting to play music, and we're getting to hear the music that you play. I mean, many people probably know you from The Tonight Show, but they may not know you've been paying your dues, as you say, for quite some time. I don't even believe you can say 30 years ago. you've been playing with people, cats like Art Farmer, Benny Golson, Sonny Rollins, Slide Hampton, Hank Jones. I can keep going, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I just most recently saw you playing with Billy Childs and his chamber group performing the music for Lyric, and that was quite a while ago as well.
Yeah.
What are some of the other projects you're currently working on?
Well, you know, I do some freelancing here around, you know, the Los Angeles area. Right now, actually starting tomorrow, I'm going to be doing a series of three Wednesday nights with my good friend and band leader Kevin Eubanks, all, you know, from The Tonight Show. We have a small quartet group that will be doing the next three Wednesdays here in Los Angeles at the Baked Potato, jazz club. So we got some new music that we're trying to eventually record soon, and so we're just we're just gonna just play these next three Wednesdays, just sharpen the music up and get ready for recording.
Well, that ought to be pretty exciting for most folks, because they don't get a chance to see a band that plays on television and then get a chance to see in the baked potato and show you what you can really do.
Yeah, absolutely. And people are really they're really excited about the music that we play, because they don't really have any idea what we're going to play. But when they hear the music, then they're really excited by it. And they're just like, hey, do you have a recording of this music? I said, hey, we're going to record this music. This is all new music, and we're going to record it. So look out. It's going to be, you know, recorded under Kevin's record label and put out under his website, KevinEubanks.com. So look out for it.
Look out. Look out for my man, Mr. Marvin Smitty Smith. You're listening to the show Live with the Jazz Cat on 1410 AM, KRML, Jazz and Blues Radio. I'm Leroy Downs, and this is the For Locals Only show. I only mention an extremely small percentage of the cats that, you know, you've worked and recorded with, and I know that you compose and arrange as well and have a few albums out as a leader. If you had the inclination to put the band together today, who are some of the cats that you would hire to get the job done?
Well, you know, I mean, I've been out here in Los Angeles for it'll be 13 years in January, actually. And it's been great. And I've met some nice, you know, cats out here that since I've been living out here and getting able to play, you know, some gigs. But, you know, I still have my affinity for my New York brethren. And, those cats, you know, like, but it's funny because Jeffrey Keyser, who's a real good friend of mine, he's been living in San Diego for the past couple years. So we actually just did a recording just a few days ago together, along with Dave Carpenter, and it was for a guitarist, an Austrian guitarist named Wolfgang Schalk. And we just did a new record just on this past Saturday. And, it was just original music and, you know, with Jeffrey and Carp, as we affectionately call them, and myself, we made some magic happen, So it's a really good music, and hopefully that'll get released in a few months. And so Jeffrey Keyser is just one of my dearest friends and an awesome, you know, pianist and composer. Steve Wilson, the alto saxophonist, is, another one of my good friends that I treasure a lot. And, you know, one of those guys I would really consider, hey, this guy, you know, I would love to have him on the bandstand, you know. And, I mean, so many people, Robin Eubanks, my buddy from way back, and we played a lot together, of course, with, back in our days with the Dave Holland Quintet group. There's so many. Joe Locke, the vibraphonist, a great composer in his own right, and done a lot of great things, and smoking player, so. I mean, these are just some of the many guys, I would love to, just get back together and get the old group together and make the rounds,
And it's so interesting that these are the cats that you mentioned, because we did have Jeffrey Keyser on the show, as well as Joe Locke. And Keyser, as well as, I forgot who else you mentioned, but they both did a project for someone else that you recorded with, Diane Reeves. And I was in the studio with those guys while they were doing that. And Dave was on stage with me at the Monterey Jazz Festival, and he said, Dave Holland, he said he's going to come and do an interview as well. So I'm very in touch with all the cats that you're playing, man. You picked a great group of cats.
Yeah. Those guys are heavy hitters, man. So love to be on the bandstand with those guys and make some more joyful noises.
A joyful noise, indeed. Marvin Smitty Smith right here on 1410 AM, KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cats. I'm Leroy Downs, and you're listening to it on the For Locals Only show with Mr. Gary Hamada. Now, I'm only a musician simply by intent listening and a passion for getting deep into the sound, the music, and understanding the directions. You guys are the ones that take it there. I don't know the technical side, and you can only make it happen the best when you have the best gear. So what is it about the personal relationship that each drummer has with his cymbals I mean, I've seen some with rivets. I've seen some that are cracked. Some have dents. Some are just straight clean. I mean, how does that work to create a sound that you want?
Well, I mean, it's basically based on you know, what your influences are, and in terms of what you know personally desire out of a cymbal sound.
Right.
I mean, but it basically reflects like the people that you've listened to. So, you know, I'm at the core of my plan. I'm a bebopper. You know, I mean, Max Roach was my mentor, and he was the guy that changed my whole life in terms of, you know, wanting to play drums a certain way, you know, musically. Because to me, when I first heard him, I was like, I was just a real little kid. I found this Charlie Parker record, like I think it was Swedish Schnapps or one of the Verve recordings, and you know, Bud Powell was on it, and you know, so Max played, you know, and in those days on those records, you know, like a track was like 2.5 minutes long. You get like 8 bars of a solo if you're lucky, especially on drums. But, I mean, you know, Max would play just 8-bar solo on a cut. And, man, for me, you know, as a kid as 5 years old, I was at least, it caught my attention.
Wow.
And to me, it struck me as what Max played in those 8 bars on drums was significantly as strong as one chorus of what Charlie Parker played or what Bud Powell played. You know what I mean?
Well, that's deep, man.
Because it was musical. You know, because he was making music.
Right.
It was very melodic, his whole approach. I mean, revolutionary. But that really struck a chord with me. And I just said, okay, that's the way I need to play drums. That's what I want to make music when I play the drums. And I followed that forever, you know. And when I got to New York, I was very, very fortunate to get to see Max play several times and to actually get to, you know, talk to him. And he was, and he actually came out to a few of my gigs, you know, which shocked me. You know, I was like, wow, Max came to hear me play, you know. And he was always very encouraging and just said, hey, man, you know, yeah, you know, because when I put out my, you know, couple of solo records, he was like, yeah, I heard your solo records, you know, hey, I said, hey, great, man, you keep writing music, man, that's great, keep composing, you know, keep doing that, man, you know, we'd love to hear the drummers, you know, that can write music, man, that's beautiful, you know, so he was very encouraging, you know, to all the drummers, you know, around, so, you know, I'm very grateful to have had known him and, you know, gotten that support from him because he's my hero for sure, you know, number one.
He was such a beautiful cat. I never had a chance to see him. I mean, I've heard him play only a couple of times. I mean, one at the Hollywood Bowl, which is not a venue. It was at the Playboy Jazz Festival, and there were so many people that were out there talking. I would have loved to have been able to just be back close to Max and watch him play, but he's the dearly departed Max now, and so many people have loved him. And it's just, it's got to be great to have somebody like that tell you, hey, man, you're doing the right thing. You can't lose that way.
No, you absolutely can't lose. And you know, all the other guys, you know, all the other masters that I looked up to as a kid, you know, Art Blakey. Art Blakey would come see me play. And, you know, Roy Haynes. I mean, all of those guys were encouraging. Philly Joe Jones, you know, Jack DeJohnette. I mean, you know, I got to, you know, Tony Williams, you know, which, you know, Tony, everybody knew that, you know, he was somewhat mercurial in his temperament at times. So, but I was fortunate to catch him at a, you know, when he was feeling real good one night at the Village Vanguard when he was playing with his band. And I got to tell him, you know, a couple of nice stories that of inspiration in terms of his playing for me. And, you know, he was really, you know, gracious and, you know, and I was grateful, you know, just to be able to talk to him and get some encouragement from him. So, you know, all the great masters, you know, are very encouraging when they see, you know, like some younger cats that have a gift and that are working hard and are trying to do the right thing. You know, they'll scoop you up and, like, you know, mentor you as well. So, and that's what I try to do with the younger cats, you know, that are younger, obviously younger than me.
Right.
You know, and if I see the talent and if I see the drive and the determination and the reverence for the music, then, you know, hey, I'm going to be in those guys' corner, you know. And, you know, I'm always trying to encourage the young bloods to, you know, really get a sense of the history of the music, you know, and not just, you know, It's not just about what you're into right now. It's about, hey, what you're doing has a connection. It has a history. It has a relevance. So, you know, you got to, you know, connect that thread and dig deeper and get a deeper understanding of why you do what you do.
You know, it's all a connection because, you know, basically to them, you are the Max and the Roy of the day and the Jack of the day. I mean, they get a chance to know those guys through you, and you came up at a beautiful time because, yes, there were the Beboppers were out there, but you got a chance to be exposed and hear that music, and look what it's created for you, and look what it's going to create on down the line, and that's just like a beautiful drum line.
Yeah, no, it is. It's such a beautiful thing. It's great. That's the great thing about jazz music, because it's evolutionary. It keeps evolving. It keeps growing and expanding, and that's what the Founding Fathers wanted it to do. You know, and if we don't do that, then we're really creating a disservice towards the music.
Well, you play with so many different cats in a variety of forms, genres, and configuration. What environment gives you the most creative freedom to open up to do your thing?
Well, you know, Leroy, it's interesting that you asked that question because I don't feel bounded by, you know, any musical situation. You know, because, see, that was the thing. See, I grew up, you know, listening to all, you know, different styles of music, and to me, it was just all music. You know, it's just music. It's, you know, okay, you know, there's a different style, but all the fundamental rules apply to making music. It's got to have a groove. You got to have a spirit behind what it is that you're playing, and it's just got to feel right. So it was, to me, it was all the same. And it was disheartening to me when I first got to New York, and I saw that. That's when I really saw this polarization of the scene, the music scene. You know, because there were a lot of older cats, and I mean, I understood. You know, like they, you know, a lot of those cats, you know, grew up during the bebop period. You know, and even a few cats that were even older that grew up in the swing era. You know, and I mean, I could understand, you know, okay, economically in the period where rock music, you know, took over as the more, you know, popular music and blah, 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 and the economics that, you know, the economic divide that it helped create. So, you know, some of those cats were embittered and everything. So I could understand why they felt the way they felt. But, you know, I just couldn't feel that way. I said, look, I'm not going to separate myself from all this music that I learned as a kid, listening on the radio, buying records, and, you know, getting able to play with, you know, buddies in the garage or whatever. You know, I mean, it's all music to me.
Yeah.
It's all got a good groove. It's all got a good spirit. And if you treat it as, you know, with that kind of respect and spirit, then it's going to feel good no matter, you know, what it is that you're playing. And to the listener, to the audience, they're going to feel it. You know, to me, it's really about your spirit that's behind what you do. I mean, the technical aspects of preparation and all that, that's one thing. But it's really the spirit in which you play music. It contributes even much more to me. And I think the problem with jazz music as we know it today, I think the problem with it in terms of, like, why we're losing an audience or not really gaining as much of an audience is because I think the spirit has been lost in terms of the approach or the presentation.
Well, you know, another drummer said it at the title track of her album, Jazz is a Spirit, you know, so I do agree with you 100%, man.
You dig?
Well, man, you are the swinger, the timekeeper, and the driving force behind the music, and it's been a pleasure having you on the show today. My man, Mr. Marvin Smitty Smith.
Man, Leroy, man, it's always a pleasure to hear from you and to talk with you, and I hope I get to see you out soon, man. Come on through, man, while we're playing out there.
I'll certainly do that, man.
Definitely.
Thank you so much. Marvin Smitty Smith right here on 1410 AM KRML Jazz and Blues Radio. The show's called Live with the Jazz Cat on the Four Locals Only Show with Mr. Gary Hamada.